Get ready for me. I'm going to get you to do a special song. I know. I thank God for my worship leaders. Can we appreciate them? It's oh happy day. Oh happy day. It goes, I know I like when Roxy sings. Oh happy day. You know what? I'm almost not new in the community anymore because it's been, what, almost a year and a half. But when I came here, one of the things I was struggling with, you know, it's like you're new to the community, you know nobody. You pretty much, yeah, I knew nobody except you guys. So it's like my circles were, I'm a people guy. And at our house, we do open door policy. You can stop in any time. But I realize in this culture, people don't do that. It's so opposite compared to the kingdom policy. Kingdom policy, you're always welcome in God's house, you know, and we share life together. So I have even put a couple emails together with the help of Sam. He gave me a list of pastors, you know, in the community. I've emailed them, introduced myself, you know, and I'm like, hey, man, it's like, why don't we do life together? Why don't we pray as pastors? Why don't we pray together? Why does it have to be your church, my church? We don't have church. Why can't it be kingdom-focused, kingdom-minded? But you know, so I kind of got tired of that. I met with one pastor and I had talked to him. I said, tell me, why can't pastors get together? Just to get together with no agenda? Or why can't a group of people just get together and be focusing on worshiping the Lord or just have fun? And the guy told me, he's like, well, I tell you, he's wise. He's older than I am. And he said, well, I'll tell you something. A lot of pastors, they are afraid to get together with pastors or for church to do things together because they are afraid that they would steal each other's people. I'm like, oh, God, have mercy. We got it so wrong. We have no people. I own nobody. You know, Jesus paid the price. For me, for you, and I've told you already, I am on the same road to heaven like you. As a matter of fact, I have to be more careful because I'm going to be held at a greater, accountability. Accountability. So, you know, and I thank God because all my relationships are going to be kingdom connections. And I've prayed, and I said, God, you know what? Our friends, people that you're going to get us in touch with, they're going to be kingdom connection. You know. And last week, I wasn't here. I was at a wedding up in New York, and I watched our service. And I was so proud of Ange. And let's acknowledge. You know, and I'm like, you know, the resources, they're here. Remember what I've told you months ago, even last year, I said what God is doing, he's not focusing on the people, on the amount of people that come together, but he's focusing on the quality of when we come together, you know. So I thank you again, Inch, and I got your note on Aaron. I got your message. I got it. So be careful, Aaron. You know, so this morning I'm very happy and thankful that my brother Nicholas, I've met Nicholas in the group of Maranatha Fellowship a couple months ago. They're a group of kingdom-minded people, and I'm glad to, I don't know, I want you to come and greet the church because you will be back, because he is one of the guy sometimes I want, if I'm not here, I want to. Hey, let's receive our brother here. Thanks for coming, man. Greet the church, man.
It's a blessing to be here.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Come up here.
Good morning. So, it's not the first time I've been in this building,
mm-hmm.
but I, as Ricardo was saying, just stealing sheep. It's like, What's the question?
Exactly.
Did you buy them?
I know.
They yours? So blessed to be here. So blessed to be with you all. Some of our fellowships with us. We're a house church that's been in the community, doing life together for 30 years now. And so, I've got Mr. Ed Cole here. Bless you, Ed.
Hey, Ed.
And so one of the blessings of doing life together, Ed and I, and our families have been friends for 30 years, and, his children, in fellowship with us, his grandchildren, now fellowshipping with us, and to see that life in generation and in community to really do the life building, salt and light, candle on the hill, life, wide open, full exposed, no apologies, no excuses. Love Jesus, want to see his kingdom come.
There you go.
Amen?
Yes, sir.
So thank you all. Blessed to be here. We had opportunity to be here today, so praise
yes,
God.
Yes, sir. Hallelujah. Praise God, man.
Thank you, brother.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So that's what I'm talking about. God is at work, you know. And Kendra, she had a great encounter with one of our neighbors. Friday? You know, and I saw her standing out there talking for at least an hour to her. And she came back. She was telling me, yes, man, this lady here, she's spirit-filled. You know, she's all about the kingdom. And I heard the voice of the Holy Spirit whisper in my ear, I've got my people here. Because those were my prayers. I said, God, you didn't bring me here to be focused on the church. I have built for greater purpose than sit in an office and preach on Sunday. You know, so this is, I know my purpose. I know my call. I know what I'm built for. God has, you know, I know it. So therefore, it's amazing, and I'm very excited every day, for every day that the Lord is. I love you guys. This is Kingdom Connections, and I'm very thankful for that. So, this morning, I want to take some time to talk to you about the righteousness of a Christian. So therefore, I figured this would be the best time for us to talk about the Lord's Supper and the family feast. And just put the family feast in its right way. The fellowship. Why do we eat together? Why do we do things? So I'm asking my awesome worship leaders to come up here and do for us, oh, happy day. Happy day. And then you guys going to help us out. You're going to do the, oh, happy day. I tell you, what a happy day it is, right?
Amen.
When Jesus washed, he washed my sins. So what I want to do, I want everybody to do like this. So, okay, I'm the choir director, okay? All right, you follow, okay? I know some of you might be a little slow. It's okay, all right? But we're going to, Joe, you got the rhythm? Got it? Come on, let's try this. Come on now. Is this the rhythm? All right.
Oh, happy day.
Oh, happy day.
Oh, happy day.
Oh, happy day.
When Jesus was,
when Jesus was,
oh, when he was,
when Jesus was,
when Jesus was,
when Jesus was,
all my sins away.
Oh, happy day.
Oh, happy day.
Oh, happy day.
Oh, happy day.
All right, that sounds good. So what I'm going to do is, this is our last song for the day. Once I'm done, we're going to pray, and we're going to move over to the fellowship hall and eat together. So what a happy day, huh? So how many forgiven people we have here today? If you're forgiven, I want you to say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You know, the righteousness of the Christian, excuse me, I got to put my eyes on. Sometimes it's annoying, but that's the stage I'm in. I don't know, maybe it gets better from here, but some of you might be like, no, you wish. You know, there's a study of the Lord's Supper. I mean, studying the Lord's Supper is a soul-stirring experience because of the depth of its meaning. You know, today, something I was going to do, but I didn't ask Kendra if we had, but we didn't have it. I saw a little cup. Where are the little cups? Do we have one laying around? Okay. All right. Thank you so much. Yep. So I want you to keep this in your mind. But also, I want you to vision a loaf of bread. You know, the whole study about the Lord's Supper happened during the age of old celebration of the Passover on the eve of the death of Jesus Christ. I mean, this is how the whole fellowship, what we call the fellowship meal, family feast. Fellowship meal, it's not just something we come together and eat. And I mean, I know all are welcome during our fellowship meal. I don't pay attention who comes except on fellowship meal, but I know. Let's be honest. But that would be a bad thing if you would come to church only on fellowship meal. I'm sorry if this is like this. Today I might step on your toes, which is fine. I have no problem stepping on your toes because I know I love you. And I have no problem telling you the things that are a little hard to say. Because, you know, it's my call. You know, not everybody can bear it. It's not easy, but I tell you, I'm like, God, I want to be accountable to you. But the fellowship meal that we observe once a month began with this little cup. And, you know, I'm thinking about, I don't want to buy, I like that today I had a real piece of bread. But that little thing we bought during COVID, that worked. It's just the idea, okay? Thank God for people that think to make things a little more convenient. But you know what? Jesus didn't do it that way. And when you read the Bible, if we would want to do it the way he did it, our communion would start the moment we step in the next room. You see, and I don't want, starting from today, every month we do fellowship. And I know some of you, like for Maranatha, you do fellowship every Saturday. You know, but every time we get together, we are eating together. We are announcing the returning of our Christ. The fellowship meal is not something we come together and we eat and then just good food, go home. This is a time for deliverance. This is a time to announce the Lord's return. This is a time to announce, hey, guys, Christ paid the price so we could be free. Oh, hey, Betty. I'll get you to say hi. So good to see you. Next time I'm going to get you to say hi to the church. So you got to come back. Yeah, Betty is the lady we've been praying for that were at the hospital. We rejoice in the Lord for bringing you here today. You know, if you open your Bibles in Acts chapter 2, let me hear you going through your Bibles. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. It says, they joined with the other believers, with the other believers, and devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, Fellowship. Now, when you study this word, it's talking about the fellowship meal, the breaking of bread, the eating together. Remember, enemies don't eat together. Families do eat together. Friends do eat together. We kingdom people, we eat together. That's why we value our life group, our home group. You know, we share life together. You know, right away, the disciples, after the coming of the Holy Spirit, they understood. Somehow, the leadership got the vision. The church was supposed to function from house to house. And then one of the things they do, they devoted themselves to the Word of God and to fellowship. You know what they were doing? Announcing the death, the crucifixion, the resurrection, and the coming of Christ on a daily basis. That's it. That's what they were doing. You know, the Passover was the most sacred feast of the Jewish religious year. It commemorates the final plague on Egypt. When you read Exodus chapter 12, you remember what happened. For the sake of time, the lamb, we don't have time to go and read it, but I would encourage you to read it at home, Exodus chapter 12, and maybe most of you already know the story. You know, the lamb was then roasted, a lamb was killed, they used the blood, applied to the doorpost of the Israelite. There's a song that goes like this. I told you I have a song for everything. Oh, the blood of the Passover lamb. You know, guys, know that's an old one. Is applied to the nose of my life. No weapon, na 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 na. It's a good song. It's a really beautiful song. I'm under the blood of the Lamb. Amen. I'm safe and secure from the enemy's plan. No weapon formed against me will stand. That's it. Because I'm under the blood of the Lamb, no weapon formed against God's church. See, when the church is under the blood of the Lamb, when your family is under the blood of the Lamb, when my life is under the blood of the Lamb, no weapon forms. Oh, yeah, the weapons will form. But what is the promise? It will not prosper. It will not affect us. You see, this, when we take communion, that's the declaration we're making. No weapon formed against me. You know, right now, even as we speak, the enemy's got plans for you. He's got plans. What is God's plans for us? Jeremiah 29:11. What does it say? For I know the plans I have for you, a plan to give you a future, plans for your prosperity, a plan for peace, a plan for health. You know what Satan's plans for us? Oh, the opposite. Kill, steal, and destroy. That's it. A plan to steal from you, a plan so you not prosper, a plan for you to always be sick, spiritually, emotionally, physically. That's why we celebrate. That's why we eat together. You know, during the Lord's Supper, a Passover celebration, Jesus took, like I said, he took the bread and gave thanks to God like we just did. You know, before we go eat, we're going to pray for our bread. We're going to pray for our drinks, whatever we have out there. And he broke it and he said to the disciples, this is my body given for you. Remember, none of us here would give our kids to rescue or to save anybody else on the earth. I don't have to ask this question. I won't do it. You won't do it. None of us are spiritual enough to be like, well, no, no. That's it. We might give our money. Even a little time. But nobody wants to sacrifice themselves to save the world. But God, he gave. Jesus Christ. So when we take communion, that's what we celebrate. We celebrate the coming of Christ. I tell you guys. That's why I sing, oh, happy day. You know, next time we do communion, next month, that's the song I want to do. Because sometimes we take communion, we more like, you know, yeah, we concentrating on, yes, Jesus, thank you, Father. Oh, you saved us. Yes, we're so thankful. But I tell you, one of the best attitude we could have when you know, when you've been set free, you've been restored. It's like, yes, or even if you're still dealing with things. Even if you're still dealing with stuff in your life, you can still come. How? I approach the throne of grace boldly. Amen. This is the good news. I'd be like, oh, happy day, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that I can reset my relationship with you through forgiveness and confession of my sin. So we can take communion with a happy heart. Oh, happy. Let's eat together. Oh, happy. Oh, happy. Oh, happy. Yes, because it is a happy day. I mean, just think about it. If you would be that lady who get caught doing adultery, you remember? When the Pharisees brought her to Christ, they said, yeah, master, we caught her. Yes, we saw her. So therefore, this is what the law said. What do you say? You know the rest of the story. Jesus stooped down and started writing on the sand. After a little while, he got up saying, well, okay, guys. May the righteous person cast the first stone. And then they disappeared one after the other, starting from the oldest. Starting from the oldest. And then Jesus looked at her and said, my daughter, where are those that are condemning you? And she says, they're gone, master. Of course, she was overwhelmed with joy. There's no doubt she was crying. But she wasn't crying because she was sad. It was a happy day. What? Because she, right there, she was on the line to die. But what did happen? She encountered life. She encountered redemption. She encountered forgiveness. See, when we take communion, that's what we do. We celebrate the life. And that's what I want us as a congregation to be reminded of. Every time we do family feast is something for you to, I mean, we can't, unfortunately, we can't do it every day. But every time we meet, I know our men's cells, we do it once in a while at Gary's house. I mean, we love that chili. You know? So Jesus says to do it in remembrance of me. And when we remember Christ, we're remembering that he died, he rose again, he's sitting at the right side of Father, and he will return. And the Bible says those who have that eager expectation keep themselves pure. There it is. You see how it works? So taking communion is not just something I do out of ritual or out of tradition, but I'm making a bold declaration saying, I've been redeemed. I'm living a holy life. I'm expecting the return of my King. That's what I'm saying. You know, unfortunately, when I was growing up, man, our church used to take communion every Saturdays, every first Saturday of the month. And I remember, maybe I got the message wrong, but the preachers, they always tell us, man, you better not come here with sin in your heart because the Lord might kill you. And then, of course, man, if you have sin in your heart, you're like, well, maybe I'm not going to take communion. Exactly. Why risk it? But you know, when you understand grace, you will realize that Christ, he gives you the ability to continue to experience victory on a daily basis. Amen. That makes sense? I'm going to tell you this again. When you understand grace, you will get the revelation that Christ, through the Holy Spirit, gives you all the ability you need to live a life of victory in Christ. Amen. You know, it says the cup, Jesus says, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, and it's poured out for you. We read that in Luke chapter 22, verse 19. He concluded the feast by singing. That's how Jesus did it. Took the bread. And I tell you, if we want to do it the way Jesus once did it, we have a great pattern here. I'm not saying the way we do it is wrong, but this is the idea. The spirit behind it. You know, and as they went through the Mount of Olives, you know what happened in the rest of the story according to Matthew chapter 26. And then Judas betrayed Christ. And then, of course, Christ was crucified. You know, the account of the Lord's Supper, we find it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And pretty much everybody says the same thing except a different way. The Lord took the bread and he said, "This is my body broken for you, therefore you can be healed. You can be restored." You know, I remember there was a time, there's one person that was sick, and we went through, right after our ministry school, we went and prayed for that person, and right after we prayed, the person died. Yeah. But let me tell you this. Yesterday, we had a very beautiful viewing here. It was beautiful. Because the Lord rejoiced in the death of his saints. See, none of us wants to die. Everybody wants to an extra minute on this earth. But you remember, absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. So therefore, people were going crazy, you know. Oh, man, some of the kids were being scared. Man, how come we pray for this person to be healed, but then they died? But do you remember, let me tell you this. This might not sound like a good news, but it is. Dying is another form of healing. Even if you on this earth. I know this is like, man, this is tough to swallow. None of us are praying to die, "God, take me." I know some people, they do that, but not in their right mind. No, because all of us, we want, "God, give me an extra day so I can have some mashed potatoes, some more mashed potatoes." You know, but I love what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23, if you can open your Bibles. But if not, just follow with me. It says, Paul included a statement that was not found in the four Gospels. It says, "Therefore, whoever eats the bread, whoever is going to eat with us or drink the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the blood and the body of the Lord." That's why it is my responsibility to teach you. Don't just come here and take communion and you don't understand the relationship between the blood and the body. Why? Because when you do that, you are, what does it say? "This is not my word. This is the word of the Lord. All scripture is God's breath, and God give us this word to teach us. A man ought to examine himself before they eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drink without recognizing the body and the Lord, the body and the blood of the Lord, it says, drinks judgment on himself." So taking communion is not just a religious thing to do. Because when you do it out of religion, you are calling judgment on yourself. You're saying, "I know I'm supposed to repent, but guess what? I'm not going to do it." You're calling judgment. None of us know this. We don't know if today is our last day. We don't want to think about it. We don't even want to go there. But I'm telling you, this afternoon is not promised. This afternoon is not ours. Tomorrow is not ours. So if I'm going to live for the Lord, I'm going to start right now. If I'm going to make things right with the Lord, I'm going to make things right with the Lord right now. Well, I'm going to repeat it again. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27, 29. It says, "Then a man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body is attracting judgment, is drinking judgment on himself." And then one question we could ask ourselves, how can somebody take the communion in an unworthy manner? Well, taking communion in an unworthy manner means to disregard the true meaning of the bread and the cup and to forget the tremendous price of the Lord has paid for you. You see, I told you already, when you take communion and you not repented of your sin, you saying, I know Jesus, you came, but... You saying, Jesus, I know you came to die for me, but guess what? Screw you. That's terrible. That's dragging judgment on yourself. Probably if you will be under the Old Testament, God would probably open the earth. But now, under the New Covenant, Jesus is standing before the Father. He's like, Father, wait. Just give him another day. Maybe they'll get it next week. Maybe next family feast, they'll get it. Just allow them to keep coming. That's why we want you to come. But we want you to know what you're doing. We want you to eat with us. Oh, I tell you, if there's a day to invite someone to church, it is the second Sunday of every month. Because you don't have to invite them to come to church. Say, hey, I'm going to invite you to a reception. This is it. And then you bring extra food, all right? Or let us know so we can get extra food. This is it. See, number two, the second way somebody can take communion in an unworthy manner, it means that to allow the ceremony to become a dead and a formal ritual, or to come to the Lord's Supper without unconfessing sins in your life. My prayer here is that all of us, we have repented from our sins. And you have an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. You know of him. I have a message I'm preparing. I thought I was going to preach it today, but it's not ready yet. It's cooking in the Lord's heaven. Know of him, but yet don't know him. You know, we've heard things, the media tell us things about somebody, and, you know, especially people that watch things about details about or movies, documentary about someone else, and you think, man, I know this person. Guess what? You don't know a person until you live with them, until you experience that person on a daily basis. I want you to open your Bibles in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Take the supper with willingful, unconfessing sin. That is taking communion in an unworthy manner. That's why we should examine ourselves before eating the bread or eating the family feast. You should examine yourself. You know, and talking about the family feast, I am so thankful to God for our ladies. Let's give them a round of applause, please. Thank you. Thank you. Every month you bust it. You know, you do the hard work behind the scenes to get things ready, to serve it. Thank you so much for serving the Lord in that regard. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 says, with the Lord's authority, let me say this. With the Lord's authority, I'm going to tell you this. And listen, as you read it, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Live no longer as the ungodly, as they do. Don't do that. For they are hopelessly confused. Their closed minds are full of darkness. They are far away from the life of God because they have shut their minds and hardened their hearts against him. Remember what I said. Taking communion in an unworthy manner means I reject the sacrifice. This is just something church do on second Sunday. I'm going to do it. When you take it like that, you're attracting judgment on yourself. And Paul goes down the rest of the chapter in chapter 11. The rest in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he said, a lot of people do it that way, take communion that in that condition. That's why they're sick. That's why there are many sick people among us. Verse 19 in Ephesians chapter 4, it says, they don't care anymore about right or wrong. They have given themselves over to immoral ways. Their lives are filled with all kinds of impurity and greed. But that isn't what you were taught when you learn about Christ. Since you have heard all about him and have learned the truth that is in Jesus, throw off your old nature and your former way of life, which is rotten through and through, full of lust and deception. Verse 23, instead, there must be a spiritual renewal of your thoughts. This is not my word, this is God's word. There must be a full renewal of your thoughts, of your mind. Stop thinking like the world. That's why we need a kingdom perspective on everything. Political situation of our world, our marriage, relationship with our children, relationship with each other. We need a kingdom perspective. And it says, instead, there must be a spiritual revival of your thoughts and attitudes. You must display a new nature because you are a new person created in God's likeness, righteous, holy, and true. Hallelujah. This is good news, guys. Oh, man. I've been created in God's likeness, righteous, holy, and true. Verse 25. So put away all falsehood and tell your neighbor the truth. Don't lie. Because we belong to each other. And don't sin by letting anger gain control over you. You control yourself. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry. You can get angry, but don't get mad. Fix things. You know? For anger gives a mighty foothold to the devil. When you're angry, it gives a mighty foothold to the devil. For if you are a thief, stop stealing. Being using your hands for honest work and then giving generously to others in need. Don't use full or abusive language. Meaning, don't curse. You know, sometimes it's hard to defer even churchgoers and non-churchgoers, even from the way they curse. Every other word is an F word. Everything is what the H. This is God's word. Your attitudes and your thoughts. Let everything you say. Listen to me, church. Let everything you say be good, helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And do not bring sorrow to God's Spirit. We studied that in our cell groups. Do not make him sad. Do not bring sorrow to him by the way you live. Remember, he's the one who has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh word, and slander, as well as all type of malicious behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Verse 5, chapter 5, follow God's example. Everything in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love for others. Following the example of Christ, who loved you and gave himself as a sacrifice to take away your sins. And God was pleased because that sacrifice was like sweet perfume. Let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people, and we are God's people. I'm going to send you home to read the rest. I encourage you to read Exodus chapter 12, and now Ephesians chapter 5. You know, another way you can take, and I'm going to finish with this, communion in an unworthy manners or eating the family feast in unworthy manners is when you have enemies. Guys, you see, one of the earlier texts, context of 1 Corinthians chapter 11 means that when you take communion with problem and you have a problem with another person, it is so freeing to live free from bitterness. If somebody has something against you, you don't know about it, that's their problem. But as much as it depends on you, make sure you are at peace with everybody. Amen. And I tell you, one of the strategies of the enemy, Satan wants us to think, let's say you come to church, you know, I see Martha, and Martha has nothing against me, but then Martha might just look at me and didn't pay attention and turn her head away, and automatically me, I take offense. Poor Martha. Well, I use Martha because Martha is my girl. Good to see you, Martha. You know, it's like, here I am taking offense, and Martha, she had no idea. She did nothing wrong. And here I am. I didn't stay for family feast because I took offense. I'm like, you see how? And then, you know what's going on? I'm going to poison Kendra on the way home and telling her, did you see how Martha looked at me? I took offense for nothing. You know, and Kendra's like, well, you got to go talk to Martha. You know, I'm like, no. You see, as a matter of fact, next Sunday, I'm not coming to church. This is it. See, that's how the enemy works. But for us, kingdom people, we know what God's word says. If you find yourself in a situation like that, you see someone maybe looked at you weird and you think, man, why they look at me? Well, go to them. Hey, I saw, are we okay? I saw you looked at me a little weird. Maybe I'm weird. And then if that person would be me and there's nothing, I say, yeah, you weird. There's nothing, sister. Come on, give me a hug. Hallelujah. Amen?
Amen.
Let us stand up in the presence of the Lord. Father, we thank you for your word today, Lord. As we step to the next room and continue to celebrate you, Father, we thank you for the kingdom. We thank you, Father, for your word today. And Lord, we ask that you'd forgive us. You know, I invite you right now, everybody, just get into your chambers, in your heart. See if there is anything in your heart that needs repentance. Then get on the piano for me. Give me a. Just let's take 1-2 minutes. Let's make this personal between you and the Lord. See if there is anything in your heart that needs deliverance, that needs a touch from the Holy Spirit. Do that right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yakarabaka sharabandoli amalaka yakashan. Thank you, Lord. You heard the word of the Lord. Just give God a response. You know, I don't believe God speaks for nothing. And as you get into your chambers, in your heart, deep in your heart, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would reveal, shine your light in our darkness. Father, I pray as we continue to take communion and eat together today, that it would be a special moment. It would be eating together today would be different from any times we've done it before. I pray that we would experience freedom to a higher level, Lord God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for forgiving us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for making us in right standing with the Lord. Thank you for making us standing in right, you know, in right standing. It says righteousness gives us the ability to stand in the presence of the Father. Thank you for righteousness. Thank you for holiness, Lord. Thank you that we can stand in your presence today. We can celebrate and we can remember you, Lord. And even as we continue to eat together, Lord, I pray that you would heal us. God, I thank you for Jomel for being here, that brought her to us today. And I thank you for continued restoration in her body, Lord. Father, we rejoice in what you've done already. Lord, I also pray for Ken Smith. Father, I pray that you would minister life to him, Father God, where he's at. He's watching us online today. Oh, we love you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Oh, thank you. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, Yarabaka Sharabando. Kiyarabaso Torodoboka Shandarabaka Yakashanti. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Father. Father, I also pray for those that have prepared the food. I ask that you would bless them. Thank you for the kitchen staff, the deacons. The Bible calls them deacons. They served us every month. I pray that you would bless them. You know them by name, Lord. You know them by name, those ladies back there. I ask, Father, that your presence would surround them. We love you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, I bless your congregation, your people. May we go walk from victory to victory. In Jesus' name. And if you agree, you said, amen. God bless you guys. Yes. Well, guess what? Let's go have some food.